Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We explore important aspects and areas of life, including business, sales, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more interesting topics. And our broadcast team so far consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill certified instructors, as well as several authors. My name is Tom Tuttle Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly e-zine, and I spoke in March 2012 at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who is a keynote speaker at that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age 5. That's 44 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", and that's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal. We're a digital-only publication, and we're the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find us online at cbj.ca, and you can find out more about me at my website, which is tom2tall.com. My guest today is Chris Lake, who is a great friend of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and of course that means a great friend of mine as well. He's an internet marketing consultant and copywriter living in Chandler, Arizona. He learned early in his freelance career that time management is a must for lasting success. At first, he used typical commercial calendars and day planners, but he found 2 shortcomings. The cost was high, and the books didn't match his style of working or note-taking. The fanciest and most expensive planners were usually less user-friendly than the inexpensive drugstore variety, and the only real solution was to create his own day planner. So sometime in 2006, he bit the bullet, and he spent a day setting up his own ideal calendar. Using the best of all the planners he'd used, he removed overly complicated task delegation features, left ample space to write, as well as the space to list work hours that extended past the normal 8 to 5 p.m. zone. And for a few years, he printed out 1 copy of the book, bound it at the copy shop, and used it all year long. And with a few tweaks and refinements here and there, the planner reached the form you can see today in the Better Day Planner. The Better Day Planner, you can find that online easily. It's just betterdayplanner.com. It suits freelancers, consultants, and entrepreneurs, as well as office workers, managers, and even soccer moms. Anyone who has a hectic weekly schedule, which is almost everyone, will find the Better Day Planner a great organization tool. The day starts at 5 a.m. and it runs till 9 p.m. It covers the majority of events most people would schedule, plus the weekend days are side by side, not bookending the week, so it is easy to add tasks to do sometime over the weekend without specifically putting it in your schedule. If you have an idea what you'll do on Saturday and Sunday, but life changes your plans, you can easily use arrows back and forth to help reschedule your time. Again, you can find out about the Better Day Planner. The website is easy, betterdayplanner.com. Welcome to the show today, Chris.
Good to talk to you, Tom.
I am looking forward to receiving mine. As you know, I ordered one the day that it came out through the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And, of course, this always leads to my first question almost every time, which is, how old were you when you first read Napoleon Hill? And was there anyone special in your life that suggested that, Chris, you need to read this book?
Well, I have a strange distinction. I thought I was very well read. I had a degree in English, and I was 37 years old, and I still didn't know who Napoleon Hill was. So just goes to show that the modern education system doesn't teach what it should. the person who actually told me to read Dick and Grow Rich was none other than Judy Williamson. I have a relationship with her. My wife is her niece. So that's how I initially met Judy, just as a friend of my wife. We were dating at the time. And, you know, just kind of from there on, I found out about Napoleon Hill. I found out about the foundation, learned more about the success philosophy, and have really, you know, jumped in with both feet and tried to keep it at the forefront of my mind whenever I can.
And you just mentioned someone who's a real dear friend of mine as well, Judy Williamson. I could have a whole show just about Judy Williamson, and I'd still need more time. She's the director of the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center at Purdue University, and a very, very good friend of mine. And so I love it when someone like her is the one who recommends it to you, because she could really give you help, guidance, mentor. No one knows the material like Judy, and so, wow, what a great person to have to recommend the book to you.
It's just a real kind of a fluke, you know. There's no reason I would have ever found her except that I started dating my wife. So just a very, very strange kind of history, but, you know, I'm sure we all have stories sort of like that that have led us to where we are today.
Exactly. And you do a few things for the foundation. I don't know all the things you do, but I know that you're involved in a lot of the publishing that they do. What is some of the things that you do with Judy and the foundation to help them out?
My primary role at the moment is webmaster. I've designed and I maintain the website, naphill.org, and try to keep the weekly e-zine up to date on the site. Make sure that everything is running smoothly, add new books as they come out. And I also do work quite a bit with Judy as far as formatting, light editing, and typesetting books for her. I think I've done the last 3 years of the annual e-zine wrap-up, yesterday and today for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think it's two years ago, I think. So I've probably done somewhere between 5 and 10 books between Judy and a few other friends of the foundation.
Wow.
So it's nice to see it on the shelf. It's more a labor of love than making lots of money. But
I wonder about it. I buy one every year because I'm featured or quoted in it. And
right.
So I thought, yeah, it's probably more of a labor of love than one of their more profitable books, but there's still a ton of great wisdom in there. And to manage their website, of course, you know, in this day and age, this is how probably 80% of people find out about the Napoleon Hill Foundation, is through online. And I imagine the visitors they get and unique visitors is really fairly high. So that's an amazing responsibility in this day and age when, yeah, most people, because the foundation extends the knowledge and information is a global interest to people. So you must get lots of hits from globally around the world. And so maintaining that is a big responsibility. And I think even with the e-zine, that goes out to over 50,000 people. So that's an important part of helping with that as well and keeping it online. So I appreciate that. And most people wouldn't know that, you know, if you're not really deeply involved in the Napoleon Hill Foundation. You don't know all the people that donate time, energy, effort to put on a lot of these things. So thank you so much for that. Now let's get into the Better Day Planner, because it sounds like you and I have a lot in common, because I started off with Daytimers. I think Daytimer might be a Canadian company. If it isn't, at least my dad used it, and so I used it when I was in my 20s. Then I switched to Timetext when I thought I would be getting more sophisticated in life. I've also used the Franklin Covey planner, which, yes, is pretty good, cost me some money. And now I use the Ziegler performance planner. So I've always used a planner. I can't see how anyone can be efficient without having written down what they're going to do this week, today, ideas that pop to their head. And so tell me about this evolution of the Better Day Planner, because I think you've gone through a lot of these systems. And even as you said in the bio there, and I've experienced the same, you can buy cheap ones off a shelf. You might find it at a bookstore or something that works just as well as a Franklin Covey or Timetex with the binder and the materials and all those different things.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you mentioned your dad using a day timer. My dad, I think it was day timer, but I can't remember. But we bought him the refill every year for Christmas, you know, for 20, 30, 40 years. And I remember distinctly, he was a professor, an art professor at a junior college. And, you know, he was the head of his department. He had lots of things to do. And he was constantly, you know, taking notes of where he was going to be, what he had to do. Now, as a sort of smart punk kid, I thought, wow, you know, being tied to such a thing, you know, if you lost that, where would you be? I scoffed at him, really, which is, you know, that's a little bit excessive. But I always thought, wow, I'd sure hate to have to be so organized that I'd have to keep a day planner. Well, you know, lo and behold, you go through. If you go through the work world and you learn what a job is all about, and then you learn about the chance you have to be a freelancer. And once you make that leap, you find that if you're not keeping track of everything, you know, it doesn't take very many things to fall through the cracks, and you might as well just go back and get another job because you're not going to be very successful. So, like you said, I probably use two or three kind of no-name planners, and I was so looking for the right thing that I bought two or three a year. I'd try one and it didn't work. So I thought, well, maybe if I try a different one, it'll work better. I did use the Franklin Covey for a couple of years, but it just seemed very top heavy. Lots of organizational stuff, which doesn't apply to me. You know, I don't delegate anything to anybody. So to have, you know, priorities, A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3, I can appreciate that for someone who's really a high level manager in a big company. But I feel like, I always felt like it wasn't designed for someone like me. And, I kind of cribbed from that and took some of the things that I wanted to see and kind of blended it all up and put it out on an 8.5 by 11 page and said, that looks pretty good. So I'm really kind of excited now that I've had quite a few people this year learn what the Better Day Planner is all about. And I'm looking forward to getting some feedback from people this month as they've started using it this year.
And I love about extending the day. It starts at 5 a.m. and it runs till 9 p.m. Just like yourself, obviously, this is why you designed it this way. I've come across ones that kind of end at maybe 6 p.m. But most of the exciting, passionate, definite purpose part of my life happens after I go home from work. And so that's when I have gym, I have different church groups, or I'll have different projects I'm involved in or volunteering. And so I need to keep track of evenings as much as or more than my daytimes. And so extend. Go to my home office and I do, you know, 30 to 45 minutes worth of work or reading or emails or catching up or whatever I have to do to, you know, at a leisurely pace in the morning. And that's usually done at like 6:15. You're not going to have a lot of planners that cover that time frame in the morning.
Exactly. I was thinking about this before we before we started to talk, my day generally starts at 3 a.m. nowadays because I have two toddlers in the house. So my only opportunity to work is about 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. But I figured probably not very many people would find value in this 3 o'clock block of time. So no need to redesign the planner for that, I don't think.
And then I like the also making notes of, because yes, my day is planned, but my brain as an entrepreneur, a Napoleon Hiller, it's active. And so often I think of things at 6:15, 9 o'clock at night, during my lunch hour, and to be able to have somewhere central that you write all those great, crazy, funny, weird ideas that come across your path that could turn into something. That's important to have as well for the creative thinker, right?
I think definitely. I'm the worst person in the world at writing a phone number on a sticky note and having no idea whose it is, or writing down, you know, a two or three word phrase to jog my memory, and my memory says it won't be jogged, it just doesn't remember. So, you know, by the time I've found the sticky note, it's worthless. So I really like to have a page in the planner, you know, one page to sort of glow a high level plan my month. You know, these are things I really think I want to do this month. And then another place in the planner to jot down those, you know, those inspirational sparks and, you know, keep it together with what I'm doing every day. I can flip back and say, oh, yeah, I was going to do this and that. Maybe I should pursue this. So I think that one of the major things about using any planner is simply the fact of writing down what you want to do and what you're thinking about, adds another level of reality to it, almost a tangibility to it, more than just thinking about it and dreaming about it.
Exactly. It's there. It's written down. So now it's embedded in your brain. And then I was also thinking of and wondering, is it just older people like us who like, I like something in my hand that I can put a pen and ink to paper and write down what I'm doing. I can see it all. I can open it up to the page. I can jot something down. I can make a note. I tried also as well a number of online planners, and for someone who wants to hold it, carry it, make a note in it at any time, make a phone number, write down an email, the online calendar doesn't work for me.
And, you know, the second part of that equation, which it's not quite so important now that we all have smartphones and stuff, but if you're not online, where are you going to get to your calendar, right? You know, if you're standing out in the middle of the desert in Sedona, Arizona, like I might be, I'm not gonna have a signal. I'm not gonna be able to write that down in some calendar online. So I do think that there is a age bias towards those of us who like to use a pen and paper, but I do think that it is something that almost evolves over time. I think that the younger generation, I hate to talk about the younger generation, I'm only 24, you know, until it's little kids, you know, hey, brats, but, you know, that it's a different way of interfacing with the world, and everything is electronic to them, and they can text message faster than I can write, so, you know, maybe things are shifting, maybe things are changing, but I still think that, certainly for me, the value in seeing the entire week at a time and being able to flip through weeks, you know, page by page, it's just so much faster and easier to me to use, you know, just a tiny little bit of muscle power. Maybe it's just me, but that's really the way it feels to me. I need to have some sense of concrete tangibility in my hands to think it's a real thing.
Exactly. I like it. And somehow I think the act of writing it down with your hand, pen and, you know, and pen and your brain thinking about it, somehow it adds an extra step of, yeah, as you said earlier, not just a wish or perhaps I'm going to do this or whatever. This is written down now. This is a commitment. I actually took the time to write it, and I like to have that in front of me. And even when I go on vacation, like sometimes I meet, if my wife and I go away for a weekend, even just to another city or visit friends, I'll take it with me. And I used to think, well, why would I? Because, you know, I know what I'm going to be doing for 2 days. But, you know, I may check an email and make a commitment to someone for a meeting the following week. I may come up with an idea. I may have some time to just ponder and think where I want to look at my calendar. And so it's easy to pack. I always pack it in my whatever luggage, wherever I'm going. I bring my planner with me because you never know when, as I said, something's going to come up that you're going to need to write something in it.
Absolutely. And I mentioned my dad earlier. He used a very narrow, like a pocket calendar. It was like three inches by 6 inches or something.
That's the one my dad used. Could fit it in his shirt pocket.
Absolutely. And he did. He kept it in his shirt or his jacket pocket. And I thought, wow, that's just so dorky. I can't believe you use that thing. But having it with you physically at all times, people who haven't done these things and haven't really experienced it can't completely appreciate the value that one has in a daily calendar and even looking back to last year's calendar and you see things that, oh, I forgot, I just thought about that. I go through my old day planners, not very often, but once in a while. And I just look through my notes pages at the end of each month and go, oh, those are things I should have done, or, wow, that didn't work out. So it's sort of a good thing to reflect as well as inspire.
Exactly, and I have a stack of mine, so when I finish one, before I put the one on and the new one, I tend to pull out an old one and like, oh, yeah, I remember, that guy, and oh, yeah, I remember I read that book, and it's kind of like a nostalgic look back and records the progress you've made, and so it's kind of cool. You don't look at them every day, but when I finish one, I look at the previous one, and it gives you a sense of accomplishment. Now, I was thinking of this, Chris. There was one I bought where they offered a dated one and an undated one. Do you have any plans to do something like that? So if I discover the Better Day Planner on July 2nd, I can be like, oh, I'd love to start using it, but I'm not going to order it now.
Well, I've got two angles on that. One is, yes, I think that it would do a lot of good to have, you know, 26 weeks of unlined or something, or undated, something to help kind of ease the transition over. To me, the burden of keeping track of what day is, you know, which is huge. But, you know, better than nothing to have something, you know, to plan at least next week, you know, Monday through Sunday. The other option is, since these are somewhat print-on-demand, I can quickly make changes and say, oh, well, for this month only, you know, we're doing a January through or July through January promotion, half price, and you can have basically the same thing beautifully done, bound up with a spiral, and it's half the year, that, you know, whatever's remaining in the year. So I thought about doing that maybe quarterly. I don't think that every month is probably necessary, but you know, keep
quarterly
fresh.
Neat. Now, I just came up with another idea that's like, wow, is like maybe customize. I'm thinking at the start of the year, sometimes I'll buy calendar-like things for myself, maybe one for my wife. Boy, it would be really cool if I could customize a Tom Too Tall and order like 10 copies instead of, you know, 600 or whatever you'd have to order generally. And so there, because it's print-on-demand and you can do a lot of things like that, this could be an option for people that if they have a team of salespeople or any kind of team, network marketers, they all want to be on the same, using the same calendar, you know, the same day planner. It might be a nice thing for people to do, to order 10 or 15 at a time, customize it somehow with a different cover or their name on it or something, and be a great gift for people, especially if you're working with them as in a team of some sort.
Absolutely. And another thing is, you know, so many companies have important dates that they need to keep track of, and creating a customized version with, you know, their specific events marked in it, you know, pre-marked, you know, the customization possibilities are really endless, and I encourage anyone who's interested in doing that to get a hold of me, because I think it's again, publishing is a little bit of a labor of love. I'm certainly not going to go buy a Porsche with my daytimer proceeds, but you know, I enjoy the act of publishing, and I think in this case it's kind of along the same lines of Napoleon Hill work, that it's, I know it's benefiting people.
Yes.
So, you know, the day planner, like most of us, we use them on and off until we really get into a habit. So I'm not kidding myself that everybody who buys the day planner is going to see their life, you know, totally changed and completely organized. But
no.
I think you're right that if there's a team of people who want to keep everything on the same page, you know, I think using a standardized tool is really a really good option for them.
Exactly, and it's you know, inexpensive. We're not convincing people. Probably we're convincing very few people that don't have a day planner to use a day planner. But if you use one anyway, there's a number of great benefits. One, especially if you're a friend of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, there's benefits to the Napoleon Hill Foundation itself for purchasing this. So tell me about that a little bit, because we have a lot of Napoleon Hill fans and Foundation fans who listen to the show.
So as a person who works a lot with the Foundation, webmaster and whatnot, I have a little bit of a advantage in getting Judy's ear and Don Green, the executive director's ear. And I came to them and I said, look, I've got this day planner, and I think that it really is it exemplifies the Principle 16 in most lists. Principle 16 is the budgeting time and money. And it seems like it's a very simple thing to do, or a very straightforward thing to do, but without the right tools to do it, it can be daunting. So I approached Judy and Don and said, you know, I've independently produced this thing called the Better Day Planner. I'd like to use Napoleon Hill quotes in it because of their inspirational value, and then send, you know, promotion to Napoleon Hill readers. And we came up with a profit-sharing deal, so the foundation gets 50% of the proceeds. And, you know, so I'm able to again, they're not going to buy a Porsche either, but we can at least, you know, I can do a little, yeah, oh, darn. I know Don wants a Porsche really bad. You know, I think that I'm able to provide a little bit of financial compensation, but also hopefully, you know, make life a little better for some people out there who, you know, have found the foundation and are really trying to make their lives a little better, a little more successful. So
exactly, and by planning your day and seeing your week at a time, it really, I don't think that there's many above average people who operate without a day planner. So we needn't spend much time telling people listening to a show like this that you really need to have some kind of a day planner, but it's one that's convenient, that you're going to use on a daily basis, and this gives you so many options that the other ones don't, and it benefits the foundation, so even better. Do you have an online version? Are you thinking of that for some of the people that don't necessarily need paper, or who have perhaps want to have a backup system for their planner?
I don't have an online version yet, but one thing I've been mulling over is whether to create a fillable PDF version, which could be saved, you know, on a Dropbox or a Google Drive or somewhere, you know, accessible. So at least you would have a PDF version out in the cloud that would be safe. So maybe for 2014, that may be an option I'm going to do. I also had a number of people comment that they love the idea of the Better Day Planner, but it's not the size they like. So many people want to use the 8.5 by 11, you know, half sheet size. I'm like, you know, that's really not that hard to do, and you know how silly of me to be short-sighted and not even offer that, but you know, that's just another level of complexity that I really didn't need to add this year. I was hoping just, you know, I just wanted to see how it was received, if it was actually something that someone that a lot of people would like, or if two people would order one. And I think I had a really good response, certainly enough to continue it. And so you will be able to order your 2014, you know, at some point, assuming you like it. You haven't received it yet, but I know you're
going to. Oh, yeah. Well, anything with the foundation, I'm going to like it. And it's a great opportunity to help a foundation. You use a planner anyway. This is a unique one. And then, yeah, it gives you some possibilities, because we have some great people with the foundation, so they're going to come up with suggestions and ideas, and can you maybe make it for this Organo Gold event, or can you make it this size, or can you put my name on it, or, and so it's just great for people. It's almost another separate resource for them, other than the Better Day Planner, to reach out to you and find out, okay, oh wow, this is great, and I would like it if you did it this way, or added that, or tweaked this a bit. And you know, of course, there's a cost to those things, but if someone can get the planner that really, even to the size, suits them, boy, this could really impact their life in a great way. And all we're talking about is a planner, but we know how much we accomplish through planners. So it opens an opportunity for you to not only sell the existing one, but for people to come up to you with great ideas and suggestions to customize it for them. Of course, you're going to sell it, and everybody's going to benefit. It'll be win-win, and it'll be customized a little bit exactly to how they want it. So I love the idea. I love working with the foundation and some of the things that you've put in there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting mine. I've been checking my PayPal to see the delivery when it's coming, and so I'll be definitely using that. I can't imagine not using a planner, and so a great idea. Now, tell me, Chris, a little bit. I always am intrigued by Napoleon Hill's favorite principle of definiteness of purpose. And you got into freelancing, and freelancing can be up and down and scary, and you know, you have to get out there. It's your own business, like anything else. Did you come upon your definite purpose easily? Has it snuck up on you? Tell me about how you developed yours.
Well, I think that commonly, it's almost unfair that he puts definite purpose first, because it's so hard for people to come up with this overarching idea of this is what my life is going to be. It feels so final or so monumental. And so I really try to help people when I'm talking to them say, look, this doesn't have to be your life's work. It just needs to be something you want to do right now. You can learn to expand this idea farther. So I naturally, I had no idea who Napoleon Hill was when I first started freelancing in 2001, which, as we know, there was a horrible tragedy that September, and I started my business about a month before that. So I put myself right behind the eight ball. you know, it started out on a rocky road, but coming up with a definite purpose is really – you know, I knew I wanted to do something more than what I was doing full time, and basically that was being a desktop publishing manager type person. So, you know, that's where my skill set lay, and that's what I was making pretty good money doing, but there was no passion in it for me at all. And in 2001, things kind of changed, and I found myself at a point where I could really give up that job for a short period and try something new. So the definite purpose had to be, you know, I'm going to feed myself. It's super, super simple and basic. You know, I'm going to keep providing sustenance. I was in a relationship, and it was basically, I'm not going to sponge off of her. I'm going to keep up my half of the bargain and see what happens. So, you start from those sort of humble beginnings. My definite major purpose definitely has evolved to something more philosophical, you know, to make a difference in the world and those sorts of things. But it comes right back down to do the best I can for my family and, do the best I can for my sons and my wife and, be a contributing person, in business and in leisure and in church, just trying to cover all the areas of life where we can impact things.
Exactly. So. And this, as you said, it doesn't have to be an overarching one specific thing. It could even be a 5-year one because, you really don't know what will happen 5 years from now. And you got to include a lot of areas of life as well. As you mentioned, want to make it well-rounded. To be true success, you can't make it just one overarching idea or accomplishment because a lot of things are going to drop by the wayside on the way of getting that done. And so it's good to find maybe different purposes for different areas of your life. And again, this is why a day planner is so important. And in this day and age, it's not like 50 years ago where you were involved in just a few things. Like now you can be involved in like 8 or 10 different things between jobs and families and careers and volunteer and the gym and social activities and various other things. It's important to, keep your life in balance and to have a way of planning it and organizing it so that you can see that, my life isn't in balance. I haven't seen anything on my better day planner for the last 3 weeks to do anything with my family or my church. So I got to take a look at that.
Yeah, balance is huge, and it's almost a cliche in some ways, but I'm a big advocate of balancing things out. And, there's the flip side of the coin is they talk about there's a season for everything. And this, the last 3 weeks, my family hasn't had the best of me because I've been really bearing down on a big project. But I know that when that's done, both mentally and financially, we'll be in a place where I can spend more time with them, and we can all kind of reap the benefits of that. So we can be out of balance for a little while, but like you said, you gotta come right back into, get back to your center and say, okay, let's make sure everything's back in order and let's proceed to the next thing.
Exactly. And Napoleon Hill talked about and wrote about how much for a mastermind partnership that the wife is so important. And when you're an entrepreneur and you're self-employed, you really do have to have that support and encouragement and mastermind partner when you're busy like times like that, because rather than get upset, the person will know that this is part of what they're doing for us. And so really nice that you as you say, you work like heck for a bit, and then that when you relax mentally and physically, family's taken care of, give you more time for them. And as long as the wife knows that, then it makes it a lot easier to be an entrepreneur, to be someone who follows Napoleon Hill's principles. And even as I was saying that, I was just thinking another good reason why, even if you buy a better day planner, why not buy two of them, one for you, one for your wife, work off of the same format at least, and it could make you more efficient and effective as a couple as well.
That's a good point. I think that if you don't have someone in your life that's your sort of unconditional support, you need to go find one. I'm not sure how you do that, but it really, really valuable to have someone who is always going to be honest with you. They may say you are so totally wrong, and you understand that you really, maybe you are totally wrong, but they're not going to hold that against you. They're saying that because they want to help. So you, if you don't have someone who can sort of see things from a very different point of view, you know, you're going to bump into a lot of trees in the forest, because there's just a whole lot going on that you just can't know everything. And just a second set of eyes, you know, it's like leveling a picture. It may look perfect to you, and someone's standing, you know, 8 feet away, and they go, no, it's still a little bit low on the right. So, you know, if you don't step back and have some other eyes on things, you know, it just is too hard to do everything alone. And my life really turned around when I was 37, and I got married and started a family late in life. But boy, it's sure put a whole new perspective on what I'm supposed to do in the world, and you know, what I can do to make things a whole lot better for everybody. So
nice.
I'm really grateful for family.
Amen, amen. And that's so important for us entrepreneur type Napoleon Hill people, because we come across great ideas, a lot of cool things, and it's nice to have our wife behind us in those. Thanks so much for your time today, Chris. I really appreciate it. I love this idea, and people use it anyway. We're not trying to preach to people who don't use day planners, but we're trying to talk to people who do, help benefit the foundation, maybe get one that's more customized to how life is today and a lot less expensive than some of these complicated systems on the market. So I'm sure it's going to do amazing, and I know whenever I have a chance to buy gifts and that's probably going to be on the list as well.
Absolutely. I'll look forward to seeing your name in my PayPal as well.
Very good. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Tom. Talk to you later.